Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. Transform us still again by your word, that it might change our lives. For it is your living word that we lean on. In Christ we pray. Amen. Some of you remember when Memorial Day was always on May 30th. I remember, absolutely, because my brother's birthday is today on May 29th, and my twin sister's and my birthday is on May 30th. As a child, every Memorial Day weekend was marked with three birthday cakes, which was absolutely heavenly. I always got chocolate. But even three birthdays couldn't interfere with Memorial Day. No matter what else was planned, we dropped everything that morning to put our flag up, and then we got out in time for the Mount Prospect Memorial Day parade. My sister Karen and I donned our Brownie Scout uniforms, and our much older brothers grabbed their trumpet and trombone to march in the high school band. And what a parade it was. 20 years after the end of World War II, hot on the heels of the Korean War, hundreds of service men and women donned their uniforms and marched in honor of their fallen comrades. Crowds lined the streets the entire way, waving their flags. The parade reached its conclusion in Lyons Park, where a stage was set up, and solemn speeches flew across the vast green, which was filled with attentive throngs. And always, always at the end, the poignant notes of taps, played by a lone bugler. The silence that followed seemed forever to a child. Silence punctuated only by the sounds of the American flags everywhere flapping briskly in the wind, while all the grown-ups wiped their tears. Memorial Day. Now, for many Americans, Memorial Day holds its primary identity as the start of summer, a three-day weekend bracketed by Labor Day at the end. Commercials urge us to set aside this weekend for yard projects or time at the beach or even mattress shopping. I don't mean to wag my finger, which preachers are prone to do, but I do mean to wave my flag. To wave my flag and say a prayer for the fallen. So let me pose this question. How should we be honoring Memorial Day? Let me start by saying that I recognize that times are different now than when I was a child. They are. In my parents' generation, everybody knew someone who had served. Everyone knew someone who had lost a loved one. That's no longer true for us. It requires us to be more intentional about honoring the fallen. So let me also say that I don't pretend to have perfect answers to my own question. I don't have an all-encompassing list of ways to honor our fallen servicemen and women that's just right for today. My goal instead is simply to lay the question before us and to spark a conversation. How should we honor Memorial Day? So let me offer a few modest places where we might start, a few small ways where we can give thanks for those who served our country and especially those who sacrificed their very lives. First and foremost, obviously, I think we owe our fallen servicemen and women the simple gift of memory. In our fast-paced world, when we can't even remember what we had for dinner yesterday, it requires effort to remember. And it might It might just start close to home. For me, it's easy. Both of my parents served in World War II. They met in the Army. Don't tell anyone, but Mom was enlisted and Dad was an officer, and they dated anyway. They spoke often of people that they'd lost. And soon we'll have a Vietnam veteran in our family, Annie's future grandfather-in-law. As I've had the privilege of getting to know him, I've heard stories of his service there and the scars he bears of the friends he lost. To this day, he weeps every time he remembers them. My guess is that many of you have your own stories, depending on where you are in your life span. But this is my conviction. In the end, it doesn't really matter whether or not our own families, our own blood relatives have been touched by war. Because what I believe is this: when anyone lays down their life for us, when anyone in the service chooses to put their life in danger for us, if anyone gives up their life for us, they are our family. They are our family. Their blood that's shed, their time that's offered on the altar of our country. Today, we remember that those ties that bind have made us brothers and sisters. They've made us family. Which leads me to my second point. This Memorial Day, I think we owe it to them to do our best to come together as a nation again. A nation is much more than a fluke of residency. A nation is much more than arbitrary lines drawn on a map. A nation is a place of belonging, of identity, of mutual concern, of mutual respect, of shared responsibility, of loyalty, and, dare I say, of love. I worry about our country. I know I'm not the only one, but I worry. I worry about the screed of vitriol, of disparaging tweets and dismissive speeches, of racist and misogynistic rants. I worry about our devolution into name-calling and hate-baiting. And to be honest, I also worry about political correctness, about oversensitivity and suppression of opinions. Don't we owe it to those who died for our country? Don't we owe it to them to do better? Last month, moral philosopher, if you will, David Brooks, sparked my imagination when he spoke of inviting us to reclaim patriotism. Patriotism, he suggests, is much more than mere tolerance of people who share space with us that we have to put up with. He quotes someone describing tolerance this way: "I stomach your right to be different, but if you disappear off the face of the earth, I'm no worse off." That's tolerance. We'll put up with each other, but if we're honest, we'd be just as glad not to have to. Patriotism, Brooks said, is different. Patriotism is a higher calling. Patriotism means love of country, which necessitates love for each other. We have to be a nation that aspires for love, which recognizes that you have worth and dignity, and I need you. You are part of the promise of this country. Now imagine saying that to people with whom you virulently disagree. Virulently. To say to them, "I need you." that you are part of the promise of this country. What a remarkable statement, that love of country requires us to do more than tolerate each other, that love of country requires us to love each other, even and especially when we don't like each other. Love of country demands that we stay in covenant with each other, even when we wouldn't choose to be one another's friend. I have to ask, is that not the least we owe people who died for our country? Men and women, rich and poor, black and white, Republican and Democrat, who died for each other and for us, even though they had nothing in common with one another, but their love for this country. Which leads me to my final point. This Memorial Day, as we remember those who died for us, as we strive to be a nation worthy of their sacrifice, I invite us to commit to living our own best lives, to serving in whatever way we can. Here's my conviction here. Not everyone is called to die for a higher calling, to die in service for God or country. But everyone is called to live for a higher calling. Let me say it again. Not everyone is called to die for a higher calling, to die for God and country. But everyone, every single one of us is called to live for a higher calling, to live so that others might know freedom, that others might know justice, that others might know peace and mercy and grace. Isn't this the heart of St. Paul's appeal to us in our scripture reading this morning? Paul is speaking to those who never knew Jesus face to face, but those of us who now live in freedom by virtue of his sacrifice for us. Paul urges us not to squander that freedom, but instead to cherish it, to use it well, to be as intentional about our lives as Jesus was about his death. This is what Paul says to us. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world's values, to the world's focus on pleasure, the world's focus on wealth, the world's focus on selfishness, the world's focus on popularity, the world's focus on pride. You can do better than that. You can do better than that. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed so that you might discern what is the will of God. So my last question for us this day is this. As we seek to honor Memorial Day and honor those who have died for us, what might it mean for us to live our lives as a living sacrifice? What does it mean to choose not to be conformed to this world, but to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice so that others might live? It's not magic. I see it in you all the time, as Amy even pointed out, in our world for children, there are thousands of ways that we serve. So let me tell you just a couple stories. Here are snippets of real conversations that I have had in the last 2 weeks with some of you who are sitting in these pews right now. One of you, has slogged away day after day after day after day to get the kids off to school and the laundry done and the shopping done, and then your son got into massive trouble and you set aside your own agenda to make sure that he found a counselor again. And one of you stayed up all night to get the major project at work done on time, but you didn't mind because it was crucial to your business and other people's well-being depended on it. And one of you got on a plane one more time, and you went not just to clinch the deal, but you went in order to review the factories that were there abroad. And you are so glad that you did, for this is what you discovered. There are some factories there that your company ought not do business with. And there are some that are worthy of our business. And you now have the voice to share that. And one of you is putting your money on the line for another business venture, not just to strike it rich, but to ensure that other people will have jobs. And above that, you have told me that you're preparing for another major philanthropy. This is what you're doing. This is what it means. This is what it means to give your life as a living sacrifice. And it's not just about your personal life. This is what I've seen as you've hurled yourself towards causes that level the playing field. Some of you, these last weeks, have worked your tails off to make sure that the nonprofit that you've served, Boys and Girls Club or Reading Power or Opportunity International or 1,000 others, that you make sure that they are funded in the wake of all the cuts that are going on across the state and across this country. And some of you have provided legal counsel or social services to people who can't afford it otherwise, and you keep working for the state, some of you, even though you may not ever get paid because you care about the people that you serve. And some of you have sent emails to bring in speakers and raise awareness, and you've raised money for people in Syria who are trapped between ISIS and the government and 1,000 splintering rebel factions. And all of that you've done in literally 2 weeks. Why? Not because it's lucrative. Not because it serves the world's values. Not because you think that you should be proud or you deserve more or anything along those lines. You have done that, every single one of you, because you know what it means to give yourself as a living sacrifice. And I believe in my deepest heart that that is the best way we can honor those who died. That we can honor those who gave their lives in sacrifice for us. The least we can do is to live our lives with intention, is to have mercy and give our days for worthy things. So that's what I hope for us today as a starting place, as we honor those who died for the sake of freedom and justice. I just hope we'll be able to lift our eyes a little higher and open our hands a little wider to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. Isn't that what Abraham Lincoln called us to do on that cold November day in 1863? On the blood-soaked ground of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, when he spoke in honor of the many men who died there. His goal was to rally a nation weary of war, to inspire his people to look beyond the small stage of their own brief lives to see the eternal auditorium in which their courage played a part. And this is what he said. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. We cannot hallow this ground where they are buried. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have already consecrated it far above our own poor power to add or detract. The world, he said, will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it cannot forget what they did here It is for us, the living, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far nobly advanced. It is for us to be dedicated to the great task remaining in front of us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of their devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for us this Memorial Day, that we let those who died not have died in vain, that we remember those who have fallen, that we commit ourselves to be a better nation, not merely tolerant, but to love our country by loving one another, that we rise to our own sacrifice, our living sacrifice, so that those who died shall not have died in vain. May it be so that this nation, our nation, may have a new birth of God, a new birth born from the blood of those who shed their lives for us. Amen.